Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
This too will pass. All the finals end by Friday. So by the beginning of the semester at night, I was reading Rousseau and Kant and Hegel. By about the middle of the semester, I was reading the newspaper at night. And now I just try to get through Calvin and Hobbes. I just try to get through some cartoons because my brain is mush. So hopefully you'll see a little bit more energy in my step next Sunday. I always had that chance yesterday to be with Ricardos as we did an Iron Sharpens Iron conference up in Portland and Portsmouth. And Rick was talking to me. As you know, I've been begging people to invite me for dinner, and the days go by. Rick said he didn't want to invite me to dinner. He wanted to take me somewhere to buy me a new wardrobe. So I probably will come one Sunday dressed in all white. And whatever it is that you've got in mind for me, I'm interested. So this is good. As we're on the sixth of seven Sundays, we're going to finish the book of Revelation next Sunday. How fitting on Mother's Day to finish the seven churches as we'll look at the last church. We've been looking at the letters to the seven churches that John had this vision. And today we're going to look at the church in Philadelphia. The theme of the series was entitled "What's Wrong with This Picture?" As we look at Philadelphia, there's a lot that's right with the picture. And so the question I want to ask us today is, as we consider our picture, what's right with it? What might be wrong with it? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a good American? What does it mean to be a good Christian? Without going into the mire of politics, one of the great definitions of what does it mean to be a good citizen of a country, it's to support the existing regime. Regime, big word. What does it mean? It's to support the existing way of life. Every nation has a way of life. Every nation has a value system. Every nation has an approach to life. And nations define good citizens and bad citizens as those that support the way and those that don't. Same is true of the kingdom of God. If you are a good Christian, if you're a good citizen, you're supporting the way of life. You're adding to it, you're engaging it, or you're opposed to it. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem. There's no such thing as being in the middle, as we will see next week. I wish you were neither hot nor cold. So, let me first read Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. And then I want to begin reading, look at three parables from Matthew 25 as well. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. I have placed before you an open door that nobody can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Good citizens. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." How fitting on final exams week to put us on notice. There will be a test. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, Jesus speaks of what is the kingdom of God, and he gives us three parables. The first, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took out their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil and jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for the faithfulness of the church in Philadelphia. We thank you, God, for your word that can speak to us in the midst of a confusing life and a life in which we are torn in this direction and that direction and a life that we are given mixed messages. Thank you for your reminder of who it is that you are and who it is that we are and who it is that you've called us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be a good citizen? What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a good American? There's no question we have this thing called the American dream, that our children's life will be better off than our life, that we're to do all that we can to make that American dream happen. The American dream, when we think about a better life, we think about a financial situation in which we make things better. We think about issues of freedom. What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to be human? We're changing our understanding of what it means to be human. We're changing our understanding of what it means to be male and female. We're changing our understanding of what it means to be a person. These things are changing. When we were young, or at least when some of us were young, or at least when I was young, we had a very different definition of these questions and what it meant to be a good citizen in the 50s and the 60s. And the 70s was to support that prevailing view, and that prevailing view has changed. And what it means to be a good citizen today is to support the change. And in America, as I said before, we live in the moment. We do not live as if there is a past. We do not live as if there is a future. We live as if there's only the present. And what it means to be a good American is to live in the present and not complicate things by talking about the future, not complicating things to speak about the past. We just live in the moment. And what does it mean to be a good Christian? Giving our lives to Christ, giving the totality of our lives to Christ, this conversion matters. But what John is emphasizing, what the scripture emphasizes, is not just the moment at which we give our lives to Christ. What they're emphasizing is what comes after it. What does it mean to be a good citizen of the kingdom of God? It certainly means to give our lives to Christ, but what that really means, as in one sense Dick was saying before communion, is that we look at ourselves and we live according to the principles of the new kingdom. And that every day moving forward, our lives are to reflect the principles of the new kingdom. It's not about that moment. The moment matters. It's about what comes after it. And the image in the scripture is one of pilgrimage. We live in a lost and weary land, and we are to be pilgrims. This is not our world. This is not our home. We're to be faithful pilgrims in this place. Those that hated Jesus are going to hate us. And the church in Philadelphia is just a phenomenal example. Philadelphia is the newest of all the cities that we've looked at. Philadelphia was a city that was completely destroyed, and the Romans rebuilt it. And when the Romans rebuilt it, they changed their name. Initially, the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, though I don't exactly feel the love when I go to Philadelphia in America, but the city of brotherly love was named after the Roman Empire that initially built Philadelphia, and he named it in a tribute to his brother who had died. And one of the hallmarks of Philadelphia is that when they were destroyed and rebuilt, they would change their name to reflect the new emperor that just rebuilt them. And they would take the values, the philosophy, the religion, they would completely change who they are to reflect Rome or to reflect Greece, depending on who was rebuilding them. They were unlike some of the other cities that we've mentioned. This city transformed itself to be the image of the new emperor. They changed their language. They changed their temples. They changed everything about them. They were the essence of good citizens. As the regime would change, they would change. And the church has a heck of a time in Philadelphia. It's clearly the case that they're persecuted. It's clearly the case that they are under extreme pressure. And one of the marvelous things about that particular church is they decided to live in the citizens of the kingdom of God. They didn't live in the moment of salvation and bide their time until Christ returned. They were engaged. They were fully engaged. They stayed faithful. They stayed fully faithful. And they took a beating. And God says to them, Jesus says to them, I am so proud of you. Well done, good and faithful servants. I am so proud of the way that you've endured that I'm going to take you home before all hell breaks loose on this earth. You've gone through enough. I'm not going to put you through more. I'm going to put my name on you. We may not think that's a big deal, but Moses was not allowed to know the name of God. I am who I am, Yahweh. But this church is promised that the name that nobody else could know is going to be imprinted on them. They're given a tattoo of the new Jerusalem, the name of the new city. The name of Jesus, the name of God, the name of this new city is going to be emblazoned on them. This is their citizenship. This is who they are. And it's not because they meant well. It's because they endured and they did it. What does it mean to be a good Christian? What does it mean to be a good American? One of the things that comes through in these seven letters to the seven churches is, what do we do and how do we live after we give our lives to God? Will we endure? Will we be faithful? Will we live according to the principles of the new kingdom come what may? And we see this parable. You've got the 10 virgins. They're told that they're supposed to be prepared for when the master comes. 5 of them are prepared and 5 of them aren't. All 10 of them would claim to be followers of Jesus. All 10 of them are saying that they want to be ready for when Jesus comes. All 10 of them say that they want to live their life for Jesus. But what's really extraordinarily interesting here is that the question that Jesus is asking is, it isn't what you say, it's how you live. So the question for each one of us, what is it that we say, but how is it that we live? 5 were ready. 5, from the morning till night, were engaged in what it meant to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And they were ready. And the other 5 spoke about it, but that they were lazy. The other 5 spoke about it, but they did nothing. The other 5 spoke about it, but their lives did not reflect the kingdom of God. Their lives reflected that of a different kingdom. And Jesus comes, the Master comes, and says to them the words that I hope none of us ever hear. I don't know who you are, to those 5. When I encounter American Christians, everybody seems enormously smug. I'm just biding my time till heaven isn't what people say, but it's what I observe. That's not what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Pastor Dale is not saying that your works get you into heaven. What Pastor Dale is saying is that if your heart has changed, if you have given your life to Christ, then you live according to the principles of the new kingdom. And the human heart is capable of a lot of deceit. The human heart is capable of a lot of deceit. And this is too important for us to play around with. What does your life look like? So as long as we're doing the feel-good thing, let's do the next parable. Matthew 25:14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Parenthetical note. Many Old Testament scholars say that from the day that God told Noah to build the ark to the day that the rains came, it was 100 years. What's remarkable about Noah is that he stayed faithful. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 of the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents, I see. I have gained 2 more. And the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seeds. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would at least have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. After we profess faith, Jesus wants us to be all in. And our life is to be defined by what it means to be part of his kingdom. The phrase talents refers to a financial exchange at this point, but I think it's not only decent for us to think of what kind of money God has given us, but what are the talents and spiritual gifts that he's given us. And the point of all that we have is to utilize it for Jesus. The point of all that we have is to utilize it for Jesus. There are a whole bunch of people in this world, and all of us in this room can immediately fixate on many who have been given much and do nothing. Been given much and do very little. Been given much and use it on themselves. And Jesus is not terribly nice in this passage. All that we have has been a gift from me for you to serve me. How are you using your talents? How are you using your gifts? Have you buried them in the ground? Yes, I am a difficult master. You know I'm a hard master. The Lord that we serve is love, and the Lord that we serve is a hard master. He says it himself. But the question isn't whether I'm a hard master. I've given you these things to use for my kingdom, to build my kingdom. What are you going to do with it? The church in Philadelphia, he says, you don't have a lot, but you used it all. Well done, good and faithful servant. What does it mean to be a good American? What does it mean to be a good Christian? When I went to college way back when and lived in the freshman dorm way back when, you would not have seen the greatest level of maturity of those guys that lived on my floor in the freshman dorm. There are things about which I do not want to speak. And that pertains not only to myself, but a whole bunch of others. We could blackmail each other at this point of our lives. So one of my friends in the freshman dorm was a guy named David, and he wasn't really a very good student. Spent a lot of time doing other things, which, that's fine. I mean, he graduated, but good for him. Wanted to go to law school, couldn't get in. So I decided to join the Marines. And got the Marines to send him to law school, and after he graduated, they made him a JAG. And so his job, of course, is to be a Marine lawyer and to go around and defend various people on various charges. And he was told one day he had to go down to Guantanamo Bay. This is before 9/11, many years before 9/11. And there was a trial and he had to defend it. So he doesn't want to go to Guantanamo Bay. He gets down to Guantanamo Bay. And Cuba in the summer is just brutally hot and humid. And, oh, and by the way, the Cubans are shooting at them across the way. And it's a pit. And most of the cases that you get, if you're defending people that are charged with something in the military, most of them are almost impossible cases, and most of them the evidence is overwhelming, and you're seeking to give them a fair trial, but the reality is you know what's going to happen before it starts because it's just the way it is. So David gets down there. He's got a colleague who's down there, a female lawyer colleague, and they're to defend these two guys, and so David starts to look into the case and decides, you know, there's a lot of fishy stuff going on in here. So the trial begins, and David wants to introduce some of the fishy stuff to help defend the clients, and he gets called in at the end of the day and said, you need to let this go. If you don't let it go, you're going to lose your career. What does it mean to be a good citizen? What does it mean to be a good Christian?
If these guys aren't guilty of this one offense, they're probably guilty of a whole bunch of others. What do you do? What do you do when you're told that your career is on the line, your life is on the line? What do you do? David decided to honor his commitment as a lawyer, and he and his colleague went in with a full-blown defense, and they won. His colleague's brother, a guy named Aaron Sorokin, writer of The West Wing. So this sister told the brother, Aaron Sorokin, about the trial, and Aaron Sorokin decided that was to sound like an interesting story. So he wrote a screenplay that Rob Reiner wrote, bought, and they made it into a movie called A Few Good Men. And my friend David, who wasn't a terribly good student and decidedly did not go to Harvard University, they do make liberties in the movie. They won the case. They made a movie. You're a hero. David was appointed the state attorney from New Mexico in 2001. His career was on the fast track. He was asked to run for Congress. He was asked to do a lot of things. And as the attorney for the state of New Mexico, it's his job to prosecute various federal crimes that are going on in the place. And David had uncovered corruption in the political party that he is associated with, the political party that was dominant in New Mexico at the time, and he began to pursue the case. And he began to get a lot of phone calls from people in New Mexico and the party of which he is part to tell him not to pursue the case. He was called up by various other people nationally who told him not to pursue the case, that if he pursued the case, he would lose it all. If he pursued the case, he would lose it all. And David decided to pursue the case. And then one day, David and seven other state attorneys were fired by Alberto Gonzalez. And he did lose it all. Finances became so tight, almost hit bankruptcy, but didn't. What does it mean to be a good citizen? What does it mean to be a good citizen of America? What does it mean to be a good citizen of the kingdom of heaven? What it means to be a good citizen of the kingdom of heaven is to put Jesus Christ first. What it means to be a good citizen is to lay everything on the line for Jesus Christ. What it means to be a good citizen is to live according to the principles of God's kingdom. And when we do, and we follow through in it, no matter what the cost, he looks at us and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And what he says to those who do not endure is, "I never knew you. You may say you knew me, but that's not how you lived your life. There's not the evidence of the Spirit that we would have expected because you lived for yourself." And the question that we all have to ask ourselves in here, is it the case that we're good Americans or is it the case we're good Christians? And this is in no way, shape, or form a way that I'm trying to rag on America. I could preach the same sermon in Russia. Are you good Russians? Are you good Christians? The really fundamental question is, are we good citizens of the kingdom of God? Are we about to endure to the end? Are we going to be pursuing what it means to pursue Jesus no matter what the cost? Because that's what it means to be a follower. The church in Philadelphia is the only church in the seven that we study that is still alive in the world today. The six other churches have all died. The church in Philadelphia, the weakest of them all, is still alive today. That church has a legacy because they pursued at all costs. We ask ourselves the question, what's the future of this congregation? What's the future of pastoral this? What is the future? What is the future? Well, quite frankly, the future is the answer to the question of, are we going to live according to the principles of the kingdom of God or not?
Because if we live according to the principles of the kingdom of God, God will lead us and God will rescue us and God will be there come what may. There is nothing that can happen that will separate us from the love of God. We will endure, we will thrive because it's Jesus Christ who grows his church. And if we do not do that, it will not matter who is pastor. Let's pray. Our God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to honestly take stock of our lives. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to see the difference between what we say and what we do. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be salt and light wherever we go. And God, it's our prayer that at the end of the day that you would look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant, not because we're so strong and because we have so much money and we have so much talents, but because we were people who were obedient. And you took our loaves and fishes and made them, multiplied them, and built your kingdom. Lord, let it be said that 2,000 years from now that Christ Church in Amherst is still alive, not because of how good we are, but because of how awesome you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link or speaker icon. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.